first began to walk with the Lord, I did not really trust Him. How He longed for me to understand that I could. So through the valley He led me, afraid as I may be, till I felt His loving arms embracing me. And I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. He's come through too many times, that puts my mind at ease. And I'll stake my very life, He's gonna take care of me. 'Cause I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. How could I ever doubt a God whose hands hold this universe? And how could I ever question His ability? There's no place that I could go of where I am and just what I need. And I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. He's come through too many times, that puts my mind at
Amen. What a wonderful truth and song. Amen. 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 I trust that somehow you could relate to that. Amen. In life experiences, that God has shown Himself real and faithful to you. If you've just paid just a little bit of attention, then you can relate to it. Amen. Amen. Just a little bit. I mean, just casual. You don't even have to get all in detail. Just casual focus on what's taking place in your life, and the presence of God there is just, it's just real that God is there for us and He meets our every need. Amen. And I just want to take this opportunity to personally bless His holy name for Amen. It. Amen. 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 What a great God we serve. Yes. Amen. What a great God. Amen. No God like our God. Amen. 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 Right. All the other gods are false gods. Right. The one true and living God, brethren. Right. Only one. Yeah. One true and living God. Yeah. And the thought of it, I know Him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I've entered into a personal relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Yeah. I sure hope you have. Amen. You say, well, I think I have. You haven't. This is not something you think. Amen. You get a relationship with God, you'll know it.
Amen.
Amen. You won't have to be coached on it. And I just want to thank God for His goodness. Well, you have your Bible open to 1 John. And I certainly have enjoyed the service thus far. And it's really, as I've said so often, it's just kind of preparation for our hearts to get into the Word and allow God to speak to our hearts. And I hope you'll do that this morning. I've got just several thoughts on my heart. Today was going to be Children's Sunday, and we had some things to happen with those who headed up and just not able to do that. But yet God spoke to my heart, and I rearranged some things last night, and I want to talk to you as children. I want to use a good term of endearment that God uses in 1 John. If I counted correctly, 9 times in the 5 chapters of 1 John, little children is used. Little children. I asked Pastor David to read that section of Scripture in 1 John chapter 3, not that it mentions little children, but it establishes the fact that we are children. We are, as it says in verse number 1, the sons of God. It says it again in verse number 2, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Amen? The children of God. What a wonderful title that we have. You know, there's a lot of things that we could be recognized as. We're saved. We're believers, right? But I don't know that there's any greater way to be identified as I'm a child of God.
Amen.
I'm a child of God. Not a creation of God now. I'm certainly that. There's a lot that would fall under that category. But I am a child of God. I have been born into the family of God.
Amen.
God is my Father.
Amen.
And I want to share some good truth with you about that. Before I do, I want to tell you something about 1 John. This is a book, if you've just recently gotten saved, I would encourage you, and we have some folks here that has recently gotten saved, this would be a good book for you to start your reading. 1 John, read those 5 chapters, and it's a good book on the assurance of salvation. The word know, K-N-O-W, just keeps coming up. We know, we know, we know. And it's a good thing to know some things.
Amen.
Because there's an enemy. Now listen carefully. Who's going to really try to get you to doubt some things that God wants you to know. Some of you, even today, may be sitting here or listening by way of live stream that you are doubting some things that God wants you to know. And there's a reason for that, and I want to help you in particular, but I hope there'll be others that will receive some help on knowing some things. Living as a child of God, the little children, it's a wonderful thing. The book of 1 John is about 3 things that God wants us to know about Himself, and it involves our fellowship with Him, all right? Now, the fact that we are the children of God, you see, that takes care of the fact that, well, we have a relationship. And so John here says, I want to talk to you not about relationship. He kind of handled that in his gospel, right? He covered the fact that you must be born again. He honed in on the Lord Jesus' interview with Nicodemus, and he recorded some things about the fact that you become a child of God by being born from above, by being born again. And then in this epistle, this first epistle of John, in these 5 chapters, he deals with fellowship around 3 words, and I want to give them to you. He said, first of all, in 1 John 1, verse number 5, he said, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And he said, because of that, in verse number 7, you are to walk in the light as He is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So he said, I want you to understand that God is going to enter into a fellowship. If you're saved, if there's ever been a time in your life that you realized you were a sinner and you trusted Christ as the Spirit of God drew you to Him, convicted you of your sin, showed you your only hope and help is in Jesus, in the belief by faith of his death, burial, and resurrection, and you trusted, that's what we call the finished work of Christ, the gospel. If you've trusted him and you prayed and invited him into your life for that forgiveness, you have entered into a permanent relationship with the God of heaven. Now, in order to continue that walk, that fellowship, you're to walk in the light. Because God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And we're going to talk more about that. And then the second thing, not only is God light, but John says in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8, God is love. God is love. And this certainly has to do with our fellowship. The more I realize God loves me, the more I fellowship with him. And I commune with him, and I understand the communion and the fellowship I can have with him. And then finally, in 1 John chapter 5, in verses 11 through 13, God is life. The Bible says there in those verses, this is the record, that God hath given unto us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So these three things, God said, I want you to know about me. I want you to know that I am light, and I'm going to fellowship with you on that basis. Number two, I want you to know that I'm love, and our fellowship will be enhanced around that. And I want you to know that I'm life. I will give you my life. I have indwelt you with my life so that you can carry out the Christian life. Now, if you'll look in chapter 1 of 1 John just for a moment, the word fellowship is mentioned four times there. It's mentioned in verse number 3 twice. It says that we may have fellowship, or that ye may have fellowship with us. And truly, verse number 3 says, our fellowship is with the Father. I trust you know something about what it is to fellowship with God. Now, I love fellowshipping with the brethren. I love it. Yesterday, you say, what was your favorite part about yesterday? Well, I want to say this, and I heard this more than once. Yesterday was some of the best barbecue, Brother David, I've ever had in my life. And I'm not just saying that, I mean that. And I had several people tell me, man, this barbecue has been some of the best I've ever had. I enjoyed the food. Yeah, I just want to make that clear. And I enjoyed the games and the activities. I mean, what a great job was done in putting that together. Amen. I particularly enjoyed watching Barry about, you know, trying to catch a pumpkin. And I thought, Barry is not going to be at church tomorrow. He's going to be in the hospital. Amen. but God was merciful. And here he sits. I missed Miss Putt throwing the frying pan. They started early on me, and I didn't get the memo, and so I got there. But I did get there in time to see, I'm looking for Miss Campbell, Sister Campbell, toting the iron skillet away. Amen. And all of that was great. I loved it. The singing, great. The message was tremendous. My heart was just running over. But can I tell you something? While I love fellowshipping with the brethren, there is nothing like fellowshipping with God. I love when me and God just get together and we just fellowship. Amen. I fellowship with God and he fellowships with me. By the way, as you read verse number 3, that's why we can fellowship together. Because our fellowship is with our Father. And because of that, we can fellowship one with another. He says down in verse number 6, if we say, chapter 1 of 1 John verse number 6, that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So he said, I want to talk to you about fellowship, how to maintain it. And so he says, I want to talk to you as little children. I'm not a little child. Well, now, if you're saved, you are, and you better thank God Amen. That you are. Amen. Little children. Let's look at chapter 2. This is the first usage of it. We'll not get them all, but we'll see what the Lord would have. All right, we may not get past this one because I'm telling you, there's some exciting news. You're getting ready to get some exciting news. I need some good news, preacher. You're at the right place. I can tell you that. Look what the scripture says here. My little children, these things, what things? Well, I think it can mean several things, but I think in particular, it goes back to verse number 8, where it says in chapter 1, verse number 8, if we say that we have no sin, We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So God is very concerned about this thing called sin in the life of His little children. Just like you as a parent, just like I as a parent, we're concerned about this thing called sin in the life of our children. God is concerned about this thing called sin in the life of His children. Now, God's concerned about sin in the life of everyone, but in particularly of His children. And so here He said, I want to talk to my children now. Are you saved? Listen up. God's got a message for you. And He said, little children, He said, I want you to know that I endear you, I love you, and I'm concerned about this thing called sin and the effect it could have on your life. And I don't want you getting saved thinking now that you're not going to sin anymore, but I also don't want you getting saved thinking that you'd just have to go out there and sin now that because you're saved that all is forgiven and everything's okay. He said, I want you to take it very serious, and I want you to understand the effect that sin could have on our fellowship, not relationship, and I'll show you that in just a moment. Look at chapter 2, verse number 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. What a statement. Boy, I tell you, that shakes a lot of Baptists up. Doesn't shake me up. God said, don't sin. I don't expect God to say anything different, do you? What kind of God would God be if He said, my little children, these things write unto you that you try to sin just a little bit, that you don't sin too much. What kind of God? That's not a God of light. Our God is a God of light. Our God has a high standard. Amen. Thank God for that. I'm not disappointed about that. I'm excited about that. I'm excited that our God is light and that He has expectation and that He says, I have forgiven you of your sin. I have cleansed you, chapter 1, verse 7 says, but I'm writing unto you that you sin not. You know, I recall as I was reading this, John, in his gospel account in St. John in chapter 8, he gives the record of what we call the woman taken in adultery. And yes, adultery is still sin. Amen. For those of you who hadn't gotten a recent memo, God still says it's sin. Well, you know, such and such said it wasn't. Well, they're a liar. God said it is. And I won't get on that. I will tell you this. God forgives that sin. Amen. And here's what the scripture says. When this woman was taken in the very act of adultery, they brought her, and the Pharisees, and they put her before Jesus. You know the story. And when Jesus looked at this woman after He had stooped down and written in the sand, He said, let him that is without sin cast the first stone. And you know what happened then. They all began to turn and walk away. And then Jesus looked at that woman, and oh, what compassionate eyes. What a compassionate heart our Savior has. He said, woman, where are those of thine accusers? She said, I have none, Lord. No man condemned me. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go, listen now, and sin a little more. That's not what He said. Go and sin no more. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. You say, well, preacher, I've messed up. Because since I've been a child of God, I've sinned. Well, there's some good news coming your way. Amen. Now what are we going to do? We're saved. And yet we've sinned. And so John says, I've got some news for you because I want you to understand this fellowship thing. You see, our sin, and watch carefully what John does here. Our sin doesn't affect our relationship with God. If you're saved, you're a child of God, there'll never be a time you won't be a child of God now. You've been born into the family. But now the fellowship can be affected. Read carefully with me what John says, and notice how particular the Holy Spirit of God is in wording this. He said, and if any man sin, we. I want you to underline that word. We have an advocate. John said, listen, I don't know about you, but I've let my Lord down. I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. I've let him down. We have an advocate. Can I tell you this morning, you've got someone representing you in heaven before God.
Amen.
We have a great lawyer. He's worked out a great plea for us.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Amen.
Our sin for his righteousness.
Amen.
What a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Notice again the wording here. We have an advocate. Look at this next statement. With God? Oh, no. No, John wanted to make sure that these believers, that these readers, they understood, yes, you've sinned, you shouldn't, but if you have an advocate, and it hasn't affected the fact that God's still your Father. Say amen with me right there now. You say, I'm so glad for this. I'm so thankful for this. There was a time in my young Christian life, I couldn't even hardly sleep at night thinking about this. Oh, I didn't want to go back to that life. I didn't want to go back to it. And I was afraid. I was scared. I knew nothing about the Bible. I mean nothing. I knew I was saved, but I didn't know. And I was wondering, why am I having these thoughts? And why am I thinking about doing this? And why have I done this? And I didn't understand the effect that sin still had on my life as a believer. It doesn't excuse it. God said, don't do it. But when you do, thank God, Jesus is our advocate.
Amen.
He's our advocate. He's our representative. You see, we represent him on this earth. He represents us in heaven. That's the deal that Jesus has with you and I who are believers. You represent me. You be my disciples on earth. And I'll be your high priest in heaven. You represent me before the world, and I'll represent you before God.
Amen.
And so he said here, he said, we have an advocate with the Father. Aren't you glad though you've let him down, you're still his little child? My little children. What a wonderful term. I love it.
Amen.
My little children. Then he said this. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. I like this. The righteous. The righteous one. The one who always does right. You do wrong, God does right. Amen. That's right. God will even do right about you doing wrong. Isn't that something? He's the pattern. He's the standard. So I just want to live right. We'll follow his standard. Look at what he said on down in verse number 6. He that saith in chapter 2, he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk even as he walked. You want to walk righteous? You want to do righteous? Then walk like he walked. Get in this book and find out what Jesus did, how Jesus lived. Then follow his example. Right?
Amen.
Amen. Keep his commandments, walk as he walked. And then verse number 2 says, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Oh, preacher, that's a big word. Well, it kind of. But don't let it scare you. See, there's some great words in the word advocate. What a great word. It simply means representative or lawyer. And then righteous, the righteous one, one who does right acts. And Jesus always does right. As his little child, as God's little child, God is always going to do right by you. And then he said in verse number 2, and he is the propitiation. What's that word mean? Well, it's only mentioned here and in Romans chapter 3 or 4, and it means mercy seat. It means sacrifice. Where the blood of Christ, where the blood of the animals in the old covenant and the blood of Christ when he entered into the tabernacle not made with hands. We've been studying this in Hebrews. It's the covering of the ark where the blood was applied. He's our mercy seat. He's our propitiation. He's our sacrifice. He has paid the price. You say, preacher, does my sin not matter? Now see, here's where we miss it. And I don't want you to miss it. Yes, it matters. It matters. Because it cost Jesus his life. All right? It cost him his life's blood. No sin goes unpunished. I want you to understand this. But Jesus has said, now that you're my little children. John wrote and said, now that you're God's little children, God has worked out an exchange. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see the transfer there? I put my sin on Jesus, he put his righteousness on me. Amen. Amen. And that's what the word propitiation, the sacrifice. Jesus has said, don't sin, but now if you do, he said, I've paid the price for you. I've paid the price for you. So what happens now when I sin, preacher? Well, it breaks fellowship. And there's something you need to do. So if you're sitting here today, please listen to me. You say, I'm saved. Praise God for that. I mean that. Listen, I'm so thankful when people get saved. I got excited when Brother David, and I thought, Lord, help me never just to take that in. When Brother Cullors was talking about folks getting saved, 12 at one time, 7 in another, I don't ever want to just say, okay, that guy said, no, praise God. That's people that are getting saved in the grace of God. Their life is changing. Their eternity is changing. Now, I don't ever want to just take that in and say, oh, well, you know, it's missions, people get saved. No. Those individuals, listen, they have now a personal relationship with God. Their life is going to change forever.
Amen.
Because you're saved in the grace of God, just like your life is changed forever when you get saved in the grace of God. You'll never be the same now. You may do some of the same old things, but God will begin to work in your life and tell you, nope, you can't do that anymore.
Amen.
Can't say that anymore. Can't go there anymore. Can't do that anymore.
Amen.
You're a Christian now. And I have a standard for you. And it's for your greater good. Look down if you would. And there's much more we could say about this. But we're going to close with this in verse number 2. Where he says, and he is a propitiation for our sins. But watch this statement. And not for ours only, but for also for the sins of the whole world. So will everybody say, preacher, oh, that's not what that means. Now, I want you to please listen to me. You might be a creation of God. You might be a child as far as a creation of God. You might, the creator may be your God, but the question is not, is he your God? Is he your father? See, he said, my little children, not my little creation, my little children. See, you, in order to get to heaven, you've got to become a child of God. I want you to understand. You have to be born again. And so what does he mean when he says, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world? I want you to think about these two words, sufficiency and efficiency. The blood of Jesus is efficient enough for we who are saved, but it is sufficient enough for all who will come to be saved.
Amen.
Amen. Any person that desires a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, is sufficient enough.
Amen.
Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
That means that anybody you meet today, tomorrow, next week, anybody you meet, doesn't matter what they're involved in, doesn't matter what they've done, the blood of Jesus is sufficient enough.
Amen.
It'll save them. It'll cleanse them. It'll make them a new creature and a child of God so that they too can be addressed as my little children.
Amen.
Then if you would look down in verse number 12 of chapter 2. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Verse 13 says, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Now let's talk about this for a moment. He said in verse number 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Now I want you to think about this. Sins forgiven. Just think about that for a moment. Our sin is forgiven, and I bear it no more. That's why the songwriter could say, it is well, it is well with my soul. See, I do not stand before you a condemned sinner. I am a sinner, but not a condemned sinner. I want you to understand that, right? Please understand what I'm saying. You say, preacher, you mean you're a sinner? Oh, yes, but I'm a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
I'm a sinner, but not a condemned sinner. Because Jesus has bore my sin. Jesus has paid the price. I have placed my faith in what he did to pay the penalty for my sin. You understand that? And now he says, my little children, he's talking to me. John had me in mind. John had you in mind. Look again at verse number 12. I write unto you, little children. He said, I want you to know now your sins are forgiven. Oh, if we could get some Christians to get a hold of this truth this morning. How many Christians maybe even sitting in this sanctuary this morning or listening by way of live stream, certainly on the outside of here, truly saved in the grace of God, and the old enemy, the old flesh, life has taken its toll on them, and they're walking around in defeat and misery in this world, forgetting that they have been purged from their old sins. You say, oh, preacher, it can't happen. Say it's not so. Peter, turn with me, if you would, to 2 Peter. That's just a few pages back. Just turn back toward the front of your Bible, just a couple of pages to 2 Peter chapter 1, and you'll find where Peter wrote, and he said, you know, as believers, we can get to the place in our life to where we will forget that we were once purged or forgiven or cleansed from our old sins. 2 Peter chapter 1, look if you would in verse number 8. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 8. He said, for if these things be in you and abound, and he's been talking about adding to your faith, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is Peter saying? Peter said, I want you to know something. I want you to never forget you have been forgiven. You have been set free. You have been delivered. And don't you ever forget it. Don't you ever let the devil convince you that God hasn't forgiven you. Don't you ever walk around with sin on your shoulder, heartache in your heart, because you feel that God has not forgiven you. He said, you have been forgiven, and don't forget it. Look what he said in verse number 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, verse 10 says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. And that word means stumble around. What is Peter saying? As we go back to 1 John chapter 2, he is saying this. He's saying what John is saying. It is important that you remember that your sin is forgiven. It's important. Because there's an enemy, there's the flesh, there's your mind that plays tricks on you. There's all manner of things that will try to come against you and try to have you to live as though your sin has not been forgiven. But there's a God in heaven who said, my little children, I want you to know something. Your sin has been forgiven. Live like it. Live free. Live free. Don't bring yourself back in the entanglement of sin and bondage of this old world and the enemy. You've been set free. You're at liberty. Live like it, amen. Live like it. Oh, would to God that we could know what it is to not only know that we've been set free, but to live like we've been set free by the grace of God. And John said here in chapter 2, he said, I want you to know, my little children, that your sins have been forgiven. Oh, this morning, do you realize that? You say, preacher, I've let him down. I know. Preacher, I failed him, I know. We all have, and I'm not saying that that's a good thing. I'm saying that it's real, and we've experienced it. But in spite of that, thank God, there's a God in heaven who said, my little children, I want you to know that your sin is forgiven.
Amen.
Forgiven. The slate has been wiped clean.
Amen.
For his name's sake. Did you get that?
Not
because you're a good person, not because you deserve it.
Right?
You say, well, preacher, I'm doing my best. I'm trying hard as I can. Well, listen, there's nothing wrong with that. But you don't think that's why God forgave your sin, do you? You don't think that's why God forgives you and forgives me? Surely we don't think God forgives us because we're trying our best, because we're good people. God doesn't forgive us because we're good. God forgives us because he's good.
Amen.
Hey, I'm going to say that again. God doesn't forgive you because you're good. You're not good. There's none good. No, not one.
Right. Right.
There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not.
Right.
Ecclesiastes 7:20. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. Isaiah 53 verse 6. Everyone is turned into his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And when we get saved in the grace of God, we're forgiven. Hallelujah. Forgiven, I say. Forgiven, if we could ever get a hold of that. Forgiven. Thank God I'm free.
Amen.
For his name's sake.
Yeah.
for His name's sake. Well, preacher, I'm trying and this and that. No, God doesn't do this. Listen, God doesn't do this because there's something in us that moves Him to do it. God does it because He's intrinsically good. God does it because He is a God of grace.
Amen.
And so He said here, your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I was thinking of a song this morning that we used to sing. I haven't heard it in quite some time. I was thinking about this little phrase here at the end of verse number 12, for His name's sake. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. What a name. What a name. There's no name like the name of Jesus, brethren.
Amen.
If I close right here, I just want to talk about Jesus a little bit. What a name. What a name. The name of Jesus. She shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call His name Jesus. For He shall save His people from their sins. Oh, wherefore God hath highly exalted Him. Amen. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and of things in earth and of things under the earth. And every tongue shall confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. You listening? One day, you hear me now. Not only is every knee going to bow and every tongue going to confess. You say, now wait a minute, preacher. There's atheists. There's people that don't even believe in this Jesus. That doesn't change a thing. God says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And when God says every, God means every. All the nations will bow at His presence one day. Oh, what a day that'll be. When the nations shall bow and come before Him and say, you're King, you're Lord of all.
Amen.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Amen.
Amen.
The chorus of that song goes on to say, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know.
Amen.
Fills my every longing. He keeps me singing as I go. Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
Amen.
And He's just the same as His lovely name. Here's a song that we used to sing as a choir many years ago back home. You've heard it. There's a name above all others, wonderful to hear, bringing hope and cheer. It's the lovely name of Jesus, evermore the same. What a lovely name. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star, sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven. Let the world proclaim, what a lovely name. Through His name there's wondrous power, power to redeem, making sinners clean. By His power He cleansed the leper, opened blinded eyes, caused the dead to rise. He'll return in clouds of glory. Saints of every race shall behold His face. With Him enter heaven's city, ever to proclaim. What a lovely name, Jesus. God has forgiven you and I. We have been forgiven of our sin for His name's sake. Jesus. What a name. What a name. If we could just leave here today. If we could just leave here today being in love with He who is fair, amen, than the lilies, sweeter than the rose of Sharon, the altogether lovely one. There's none like Him, brethren. There's none like Jesus. I'm telling you things you already know. There's none like Him. But sometimes we get distracted, don't we? We do. And we just forget what it was to live in a life without Jesus. Oh, oh God, have mercy.
Seems though I forget sometimes what it was to wake up and go a whole day without even thinking about the name of Jesus. Back before God found me in my sin, saved me in His grace, I went days and weeks and months, years, and never realized that my sin could be forgiven for His name's sake, Jesus. Oh, I'm so glad I heard that name. I'm so glad that somebody shared the wonderful, matchless, marvelous name of Jesus with me.
Amen.
How about you?
Amen.
What a lovely name,
yeah.
The name of Jesus. My sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Look at it. For His name's sake. Verse number 13 says, the latter part of it, I write unto you, and there it is again, little children, because you have known the Father. You see that word known there? It's a word of intimacy. We said God is light, but I'm glad God is love, aren't you? He is. God is love. You've known Him. You know what it is to have intimate communion with the Lord. For God just to get real near and dear and up close and personal. We heard it in song. We experienced it in life. What a name. The name of Jesus. You know, I'm going to close here. And I'm going to close with a warning. I do want to point a scripture out as I warn you. Look, if you would, in verse number 18 of chapter 2. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists whereby we know that is the last time. And it says over in chapter number 3 and verse number 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Chapter 4, verse number 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What are you saying, John? He closed the epistle with this in chapter number 5, and verse number 21. He said, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Don't let anything in your life rival God. Jesus is a wonderful name. But it's only wonderful when you know Him. There are people that cuss the name of Jesus. They curse Him. They mock the name of Jesus. They do. I don't wish they would go to hell. I don't want anyone to go to hell. I don't. I want to see people get saved. Because they deserve the same grace as far as me speaking. I want them to experience and have the same grace that I've experienced. Don't you? Now I want to make it very clear. I started to say they deserve, and that's not the right word. In my eyes, I don't want to think, well, they don't deserve that God would save them, and they would hear the message too. I want them to hear the message like I got to hear it. I'm not angry at these people that cuss God's name. I will tell you, something comes up inside of me, though. I boil with righteous indignation. Do you like the way I changed the word anger there? I don't like it. I don't like people to talk bad about God. I don't like to hear people cuss God, mock God. I'm glad God is patient. Are you here today, and all you know about the name of Jesus is how to spell it? Or how to say it. I fear in my heart. Listen to me, young lady. I fear in my heart. There's people here today, young man. That's all they know about Jesus. You know how to say it. How to pronounce it. How to spell it. But you've never had a real encounter with the God of heaven. Never. And it shows. The indifference. I just want you to know. It's plastic on you. You can see right through it. You've never had a real encounter with God, and I'm begging you, know that these are the last times, and there's the spirit of Antichrist that wants to deceive you and take you away from the truth that I have preached today and cause you to think, well, I come to church, so I'm okay. I'm going to be all right. No, you're not going to be all right until you get saved in the grace of God. Your sin is not going to be accounted for. Please understand this. Please Can I tell you, there's probably been more people to die and go to hell from a church pew than they have a bar stool? Please understand what I'm saying to you. It's serious. Your sin has been forgiven for His name's sake, because you're His little children. Let's stand to our feet. If you're not one of His little children today, I plead with you. I do. I plead. I would beg you. I beg you. Be saved. Be saved in the grace of God. It's cool not to be saved, preacher, until you get to hell, and then it's hot not to be saved. I just want you to know it's real. Okay? It's real now. Somehow we've got this thing in our mind, and it concerns me. It concerns me. We've got this thing in our mind that, well, you know, I don't have to believe like that, or I'm fine, I'm okay, or you know, God this and God that. God's going to do things exactly like He said He's going to do it in this book right here. And He's not going to change, not for me, not for you. So please, please understand. There's some great news here today. Great news. We have an advocate. There's propitiation for our sin. Jesus has given us His righteousness. He has forgiven us our sin for His name's sake. And we are known and can know Him in an intimate communion. But now that only applies to those that are His little children. Please don't think one day I'll get to heaven and God's going to let me in. It's not going to happen if you've never been saved. So let's bow our heads together.